Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Asset Allocation Report. I'm Phil Adler. Younger investors appear to have more influence on the stock market than they used to have, and there are signs that they are becoming more cautious. Confluence Associate Market Strategist and Certified Business Economist Thomas Wash joins us to explore the possible fallout in this week's report, titled The Dip That Didn't Bounce. First, Thomas, regarding my statement about younger investors, do you agree their influence on stock trading has increased in recent years? And if so, why?
So I do think their influence has increased, and pretty dramatically. Since the pandemic, we've seen a wave of young investors jump into the market, especially in tech. Over the last 6 years, retail share of trading has moved from a small single-digit slice to something closer to one-fifth, and in periods of high volatility, it has spiked even higher. A lot of that comes down to access. Commission-free trading apps lowered the barriers to entry. Meme stocks showed people how powerful the crowd can be, and now the AI boom has kept them engaged. For many young investors who are typically retail investors, the market isn't just a place to invest anymore. It's become a way to protect savings and try to stay ahead of inflation.
And how has this growing influence impacted the way the market performs?
In simple terms, everyday investors have become a major source of buying power. Their steady demand now acts like a cushion, helping to limit how far prices fall when selling pressure picks up. You know, a good example was the Liberation Day dip in April of 2025. Big institutions were pulling back on recession fears, but retail investors did the opposite. They stepped in and bought the dip. That wave of buying didn't just stabilize the market, it helped spark the rebound. And because they stayed heavily invested in tech, a lot of those retail investors actually outperformed many large institutions throughout 2025.
Thomas, crypto has also been an attractive landing place for some young investors. How do you explain the young investor connection between large cap technology and crypto?
Well, when you look at how the two perform, you can see that the link has been pretty straightforward. Both areas have delivered huge gains over a relatively short period, and that shaped expectations. Many investors have watched prices in tech and crypto surge and come to believe those trends can keep going. They've also seen that when the market does pull back, like after the 2022 correction, it eventually bounces and then makes new highs. Unlike their parents, they didn't live through the dot-com bust or the worst of the great financial crisis. That lack of firsthand experience with real lasting damages make them more comfortable taking big risks in the growthier corners of the market. That's where you get this you only live once or YOLO style of investing, where valuations matter less than the fear of missing out on the next big move.
Well, how has crypto performed lately compared with large cap technology?
So while both haven't performed well this year, crypto has actually lagged large cap tech. Both have had a choppy start to the year, but the most interesting story is the shift in retail behavior. Crypto still has a very high concentration of retail participation, so it's become kind of the canary in the coal mine for risk appetite. Over the last couple of months, a lot of those investors have quietly rotated out of digital assets back into equities. In other words, they're less willing to leave money parked in the riskier parts of the market. That loss of retail firepower is a headwind for crypto, and it's also one reason some of the more speculative tech names have struggled.
Does all this suggest that while younger investors have always bought the dip, maybe that won't be true this time?
I wouldn't go that far. I don't think younger retail investors have stopped buying the dip. They've just become more selective. With more headlines questioning whether tech names can deliver sustainable profits and rising concerns around areas like private credit, we're seeing a real rotation under the surface. Instead of blindly piling into every AI-related ticker like they did over the last couple of years, they're starting to look for opportunities in parts of the markets that have been ignored. So the dip buying instinct is still there, but it's moving away from the frothiest corners and toward what they see as more reasonable risk-reward.
Well, speaking of rotation, let's look at where the money is actually moving. Which areas are seeing the strongest bid?
You know, I would say right now, one standout is silver. It has turned into a kind of hybrid trade. On the one hand, it still offers that defensive safe haven appeal, and on the other hand, it's tied to the growing industrial demand. Its role in high-performance electronics, solar, and AI-driven data center infrastructure has become a powerful story, and that narrative has clearly clicked with retail investors. We're also seeing a meaningful rebound in consumer staples, with the One Big Beautiful Bill tax package now in place. Investors are starting to price in a boost to disposable income and consumer spending. That backdrop can help restore some of the pricing power and margin strength that big staple companies struggled to maintain during the last bout of cost inflation and rate volatility.
Well, Thomas, you mentioned how many young investors have never personally experienced a prolonged market downturn. Do you think that if the market stagnates, there might be a piling on flood out of crypto and large cap high tech, and perhaps the market as a whole, as these investors become truly nervous for perhaps the first time?
So, I mean, that's a very interesting question. I'm actually skeptical that retail is going to disappear if the market goes sideways for a while. Unless we see something truly seismic, like a major tech giant actually going under, I think this new generation of investors is structurally here to stay. Many of them have never lived through a long, grinding bear market. Every big sell-off they've experienced has eventually turned into a buying opportunity. That's why they're so comfortable buying the dip. Their lived experience is that the market always comes back, so I'm not worried about a wholesale panic exit from the market. What's more likely is that if things stagnate, they dial back their trading activity, sit on a bit more cash, and wait for entry points they're more excited about rather than abandoning stocks altogether.
Well, as you look at recent market behavior, what's your advice right now for stock investors?
So, you know, there are definitely pockets of concerns, whether it's stress in private credit or questions about the profitability of certain software and AI names. But we don't see clear evidence that these issues are about to trigger a full-blown crash. In our view, the most sensible approach right now is to lean into diversification. That means not letting a single theme, like mega cap tech, dominate your portfolio. We think adding more international exposure is one way to reduce reliance on a very tech-concentrated U.S. market and to tap into different sources of growth and policy support.
Thomas, are there any regions you find particularly attractive right now?
We still have a lot of confidence in the U.S. market and expect the recent volatility to be at least somewhat short-lived. That said, a weaker dollar should create a tailwind for a select international market. One region we're watching closely is Europe, where we see potential for the euro to strengthen against the dollar as interest rate differentials widen and policymakers start to rethink parts of the regulatory framework. We're also constructive on segments of Southeast Asia. Those economies are deeply tied into the global chip supply chain and increasingly aligned with U.S. strategic priorities. We think both of those forces can be supportive for equities in that region.
Thank you, Thomas. The title of this week's report is The Dip That Didn't Bounce, and you can find a link to the written report on the Confluence webpage, confluenceinvestment.com. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice. Also, this information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.